Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson with you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me, the beautiful Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
My wife and lover. On the phone, Lisa Murphy.
Not your wife and not your lover.
I probably don't need to point that out, but you know, I'm still, I mean, it's been 30 plus years and she's still here, so I'm just a happy guy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. How are you today?
I'm delightful. It's cold outside. There's a fire going in the fireplace, a dog laying in front of the fire, and we're podcasting. So what could be better?
Well, I don't know that I could be there live in studio.
That'll be coming up in a few episodes, people. You'll be hearing live in studio episodes for the first time. So maybe a little bit more drunk than the last 6 months of episodes. It tends to happen when we're in studio. Tasha Johnson is making a face at me. Don't make faces. Talk to the microphone.
Well, it'd be in moderation. I mean, it'd be better than the first few episodes way back in the day.
Well, I mean, we don't know that.
Well, we might just, yeah, we could just.
I do tell people that if they're new to the podcast, that they don't need to go back to part one.
Yeah, the first couple hundred or anyway, and there's the infamous episode 50 that you will not listen. You can go check. You will find episode 50. We left it blank in case we ever wanted to release that episode. It is still in the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio vault.
The vault.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a not safe for work podcast on a good
in general.
Day. That one was like Child Care Bar and Grill after dark. Anyway, probably never going to listen to that episode, people. But you're here for this one, so maybe we should talk about something. So Lisa Murphy, I want to talk about getting organized today. It's something I know you've been doing there at your place, and something we've been doing since we moved the studio over the last couple of weeks. Been a lot of organizing and sorting and that kind of stuff going on. And I think, you know, having your stuff organized is a big part of creating a child-led environment, because you got to know where the green paint is and where the dominoes are and where to find those extra cool magnets that you picked up at the garage sale and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of programs struggle with this because they have a lack of space and they get too much stuff or whatever. So thoughts?
Well, I think it ties in nicely to the episode we did a couple weeks ago, where we talked about structure and control and, you know, potentially the differences and is it really semantics or is it the same thing? And I think getting organized leads to a structured kind of environment. And when it's consistent and predictable, to your example of the green paint or the scissors, if I'm four and I always know where the scissors are, I can just go about my business of whatever it was I wanted to do with the scissors, right? But if I have to stop that flow or that creative spurt or that mindset, you know, whatever, if I have to like stop and then go find an adult or go find the cupboard or go find it, that, you know, at some point I'm just going to be like, forget this. You know, it's not even worth it. You know, I didn't need the scissors that bad anyway.
or so what did I need them for in the first place?
Or what did I need them for? Yeah, I'll often joke that, we do the same things to children when they come in. They come running in because for whatever reason, they're like, I need to paint something at the easel, you know, and then they get stopped by 49 people and the paint's not out and there's no brushes and you need a smock on and go wash your hands and it's not your turn. And we do easel on Friday and eventually the kid's like, fuck this shit. You know, I don't care. But I think being organized allows for the kids to be able to take that breath of, okay, it's predictable, you know, the scissors are where they were yesterday. The green paint is where it was. Oh, it's a little empty. I know the person that's here. If I ask for more, they're going to give it to me. So I think we contribute to the flow of childhood by having an organized space.
I get that a lot of
creatives, that like creatives work in a, what most people might consider a messy place. And they will say, you know, I know where everything is, but to the you know, the new person walking in looks like a complete, you know, chaotic mess. I get that. But I also think it's important to point out that as an adult, that's probably a little easier for you than if you were 2, 3, 4, and 5. You know, if it's always cluttered and there's never any room and I never know where anything is and I can't even get from the block area to the easel or the sensory tub without, you know, stepping over 49 pieces of furniture and piles of stuff. I think it lends itself to just a chaotic energy that at least I know young children will definitely respond to behaviorally.
Well, I think there's some correlation between the number of people using a space and what organized needs to look like. If you're a painter and you're the only one that uses your studio, it can look like a bomb went off and you still know where everything is and that works for you. If you had one more person to that environment, then things need to kind of go back. The brush cleaner or whatever needs to go back in one place so that both people know where to look for that thing when they're looking for it. And then if you create that environment where it's a couple adults and a half dozen or a dozen young humans, then a little bit more organization is probably necessary.
Well, also too, as an adult, I mean, if we're going to split it right now, just for conversation, adult, whether you're an adult in a solo studio, 500 square feet, your own self, you know, whatever, whatever you do, what you need to do. Even if another adult comes into that space and it becomes a shared space, you're still banking on the fact that this is an adult. And if the current environment isn't working, in theory, they have the verbal ability to be able to be like, yo, I know we're sharing a space. Some of this stuff isn't working for me. We need to have a little meeting of the minds to make that happen. Two-year-olds can't do that, you know, right? So they're going to show you in perhaps a nonverbal way that the space isn't working. The other thing is that adults, truly, you want to talk about like practicing agency, adults are able to create that space in the way that's going to work for them and whatever they see is the purpose for that particular bit of space. I have yet to see many, I mean, there's a few programs where the young children actually are able to practice their agency of deciding where things go, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this space where if it was up to the 2s, 3s, 4s, and 5s, I bet dollars for donuts it would look entirely different than what the adults are deciding that it's supposed to look like. Or to even go out another layer of what Eckers is saying that environment is supposed to look like, you know, you know, that's a conversation for another time. But you look at now as far, you're getting now layers and layers and layers away from the people who actually use the space on a regular daily basis. And, you know, at what point is it just like, okay, this environment is literally being done to me because as a four-year-old, I have absolutely no say, no autonomy. I have nothing to contribute, like I have lots to contribute, but it's not being heard. And so who ultimately is this space for, whether it's structured and organized or cluttered and not?
Yeah. I had that experience setting up the studio here. I did a couple things that, like, I asked Tosh about ahead of time, and then her response was kind of an eye roll and kind of like, well, it's your space.
I did tell you that even. It's your studio. Set it up the way you want to make it efficient. So
yeah, and I did that, and there's some stuff that looks stupid and might be awkward and weird to other people, but it works for me. So that's kind of cool. I screwed some fairly strong magnets to the wall in a couple places because I'm always using and losing scissors and utility knives, right? And so now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pairs of scissors stuck to the wall on the other side of the studio. And I haven't, for the last week, I haven't had to look for scissors because they're fucking stuck to the wall. And
wait, I have a question. Yeah. Are they strong enough magnets that they're going to jack up our phones and our laptops?
Well, I don't think so. And I don't expect, okay. I mean, if you try to hang your phone on the wall, it might, but no.
For a period of time, we could do an experiment.
It's not like they're electrical, electromagnets powered by a nuclear reactor I've built in the basement. They're just, I mean, they're powerful in terms of they'll hold up a pair of scissors stuck to the wall, but they won't lift up
a car. Do you feel like you have gained more time? This might seem like a silly question, but I'm asking it honestly. Have you noticed like any kind of time differential because you're not moving paper, shuffling around, where the fuck are those scissors? You know right where they are. Has it added a minute to your day?
Probably a minute and a half.
Wow.
To some days. But the other thing one of the things moving the studio is that it put me in closer contact to other stuff, right? So when the studio was on the second floor of the house, if I needed to take pictures for the toy shop, I would have to haul stuff from the basement or the first floor and then have to put it away afterwards and everything. And because of all that extra labor, I mean, truly, it's not enough, but I'm a lazy guy. And so I'd put things off. Yesterday, I made a quick video I've been thinking about for, I don't know, 2 years. Because everything was in close proximity to where I needed to shoot the little bit of video. And so just that made things easier. And I don't know what takeaway we have for early learning in relation to that. But I guess it is keep the stuff that you're going to be using and interacting with closest at hand. And the stuff that is called for a little bit less, it's okay for that to be stowed away a little bit.
Yes, and it's also okay, I think, to throw stuff away.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Have you been doing any of that in your?
Oh,
are we calling it a purge?
Yes. I would call it a purge. I mean, it's been needing to happen for quite some time. You know, and for the longtime listeners, and for the new ones, I'm way more comfortable sharing stuff now than I was when it was all happening. But you know, I started the divorce proceedings in 2014, didn't officially get divorced till 16, and then moved out and, you know, did a pretty psychologically healthy purge at that point, moving from the married house to the house I'm in now. But I, you know, I'll be honest, there was stuff that I wasn't emotionally ready to kind of, you know, deal with some of the boxes of stuff. So I was fortunate I had an attic that I was able to just throw that stuff in. And I figured when the time was right, it would be time to go through that. But I didn't, the one thing I erred on, because I had the space and I realized that this was, you know, a blessing that not everybody has, I had the space to be like, you know what, not quite sure yet on that, put it in the attic. And now I'm like, you know what, it's time because I'm not moving all that shit to the new house in Florida for lots of different reasons. And so, yeah, there has been a purge. You know, I've my kind of, I don't know what the word would be, like the line in the sand. Like if I haven't touched it since I've moved into this house, it's getting donated. I mean, unless it has some kind of true sentimental family, you know, unless it really gets somewhere in that space, if I haven't touched it, it's staying behind. It's not coming to Florida.
I try to have that same policy. That's why I randomly just walk around the house touching things, just so I can keep them.
You're a dick.
I have that relationship with clothing. I find stuff that like it's on the bottom of the pile, and then it just kind of works its way to the bottom of the pile. Sometimes I feel like I just got to go flip the pile upside down so I can wear that t-shirt that I still really like, but I forgot I had. And
yeah,
it's got to get worn or else I'm going to do the purge in a month and then it's going to have to leave. And I don't want that to happen. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Well, and for me, the clothes, I mean, that to me, I mean, the story I like to tell is when I moved into this house and my niece was with me when I was moving in, and I hung all of my clothes up on a metal, like pipe hanger hook kind of, mm-hmm. Because I don't have a closet. It's just one of those metal, you know what I'm talking about, like a pipe.
Yeah.
And maybe it's 4 feet across. And as I hung everything up, my niece goes, "Auntie, where are you going to put all your other clothes?" And I'm like, that's it. And she was like, "What?" And you know what? Now this is serious. Like, and I used to berate myself. Like I was like, "Oh my God, Lisa," because here's the thing. This is where I am a contradiction. I appreciate fashion. I appreciate well-dressed, put together. Like I get that. I love it. I enjoy looking at it. Twice a year, I let myself buy Vogue magazine because I think some of the stuff that go, I just love it. Like it's visually pleasing. I like the color. Like, and walking out and about, like I could be like, "Ooh, you know, he or she, they got a really strong kick-ass sense of style." And the other people that got kind of a quirky, edgy thing going, I'm like, "Ooh, I want to take a page out of that book." And yet then I'll come home and look at my fucking uniform and be like, "Well, jeans and a black t-shirt. Here we go again." Like, and then, but here's what happened. I don't beat myself up anymore because I read an article that said, Steve Jobs used to wear the same combination every day. So it was one less choice he had to make so that energetically he could save all of his creative energy and ideas on bigger, more important things. So that's the page out of Jobs' book that I'm stealing.
I'm down with that. I'm moving more and more in the direction of, remember Jack LaLanne?
Oh, you're going to start wearing a jumpsuit?
I think I'm going to start looking at wearing the jumpsuit. You know, I'll have to add.
Oh, Tasha! Tasha, how's that? That's sexy, right?
I don't think you can.
Suits always come to mind. How do you go to the bathroom without getting cold in the wintertime?
Mine are going to have the trap door. It's going to be a combination of my jumpsuit's going to be customized. It's going to have the trap. It's going to have, well, it's not going to be long johns. It's going to be heavier than that, but it will have a trap door. I will be wearing long johns underneath. I'm thinking snaps or buttons are a little bit too old fashioned. I'm going to go with Velcro.
Oh, God.
Velcro.
I don't think you can buy a jumpsuit with the number of pockets I'm going to want. It's going to have like kind of like a utility belt built into it. I have my
sounds like
magnet.
Tasha.
I have my magnet scissors right there. And then I'll have like.
And then you'll be like, how come my phone doesn't work anymore?
Yeah, yeah. I have like four of them, all in the exact same color, so that I totally hate dealing with that. That's why I've decided to go with the buzzed off hair from now on, because the 3 minutes a day I used to 3 minutes. Okay. The 3 minutes a week I used to spend fixing my hair was just too much. And the older I get, the faster time goes, and I just don't have time for that shit anymore.
Yeah. I've learned that it's okay to, and I've learned this in many departments in my own personal life, but I've learned that it's okay to have a respect and appreciation for other gifts and abilities and talents and just things that other people bring to the table without me having to also do it. My slippery slope will bring me right back into being a type A, control, got to do it, competitive. And I've done a lot of work lately, like in the last 5 years, to have that not be my default setting. And one of the things that I've kind of relinquished is that, you know what, as much as I love that dressing style of XYZ lady or whatever, yeah, it's not going to be me. So this is what I bring to the table. And I'm okay with that.
Well, touching on that type A, everything in its place kind of personality thing, I think before we wrap this one up, we should brush on the point where being organized and knowing where your stuff is brushes up against being a cleanup fanatic.
I agree.
Because while I'm in total favor of being more organized and knowing where your things are and having that kind of structure in the early learning environment so that the kids can go about being powerful in that environment, I'm not a big fan. I think programs tend to do too much cleaning up. And so where are you with this and where those two kind of brush up against each other?
I'm going to sneeze. Oh, shoot. Nope, maybe not. I think it could quickly become more of a control issue. So, like, when I hear the phrase getting organized, like, I know what that means for me personally. I also have been on social media enough and have seen enough shows to where that can get a little OCD control freaky for some people. You know, like, everything is labeled or everything is alphabetical or everything, like, in its place, everything all the time. And the organization becomes more of the focus as opposed to just kind of things being accessible, right? So, like, my spice cabinet makes people laugh because, one, I have a lot of them, and, two, they're all alphabetical. But to that, when I'm cooking, and you guys have seen this, you have borne witness to how I cook. I have a messy cook. I use every bowl, every spoon. The kitchen is a disaster zone. But because I know where everything is, right? I know where everything is. I make a mess while I'm in that creative zone. And then when it's all done, then everything has a place that it goes back to. Versus while you're in that act of creative expression, whether as adult and that's cooking, whether as a kid and it's painting, doing a puzzle, writing a letter, whatever that might look like, it's like I can put that totally, I can suspend that. I can put it on pause while the thing is happening. And the thing is happening probably in a way that might be more successful for the kid or for whoever's doing it, because it was able to start from a place of, I know where to get all the tools that I need for what I'm about to engage in. Nobody is going to put any limits or direction on me while I'm in the moment. And then when I'm all done, I know where things go, but nobody's going to make me hurry up and put them back until I am finished. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we were always kind of in the position where, I mean, take blocks. Here's where the blocks go when the blocks are put away, but not here's the contact paper shape. Silhouette of each shape of block.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
I'm
if the
not
blocks
like that.
Get into the general block shelf area and the dress up clothes get into the general dress up clothes drawer, they don't have to be folded and sorted by color.
Exactly.
If they make it into the drawer, we're good, because then everybody kind of knows where to go when they're looking for what they need, but we're not spending. And I think, I mean, for the kids too, this is a big time suck. The extent of.
Well, and for the adults who spend all that time cutting out and laminating all that bullshit and putting it up all over everywhere. And now you're spending all your energy, like, being the cop of the shape of the blocks on which shelf, as opposed to facilitating, redirecting, having conversations, engaged in deepening relationships, you know, like, other things then become the focus simply because of how you've set up the environment.
Block cop sounds like a great children's cartoon. So it would be that medium unit block, not the one, the two little square ones make up this guy.
Put together, longer,
yeah. So it'd be that guy in a police uniform with a with a face drawn on with a Sharpie, and then he would just be like the cop of the block area, running around, and there'd be a lot of pulling building permits because people weren't building safe structures and that kind of stuff. Little Hot Wheel cars getting pulled over for speeding.
Now, so while you were talking, I have to tell you though, here is a place where this is a true anecdote. It's an anecdote is still true, right? It's a story, right? An anecdote. So talk about being flexible within your being flexible, right? Your flexibility within your flexibility. We had a guy who, Miss Lisa didn't care how the blocks got back on the shelf. In fact, I didn't care if you just dumped them all in the big red Target bucket. You know, I really didn't care. But that was the block area. When you're done, that's where they go. Okay, fine. No big deal. But we had a kid who needed the blocks to be on the shelf a certain way. Mm-hmm. So while the rest of the kids were like, you know, for the most part, organizing the room at the end of the day or end of a big play structure series session or whatever, he would be over there like micromanaging the, so we made room for that. And the kids would know, they're like, oh yeah, you know, David needs them lined up, you know, so just put the blocks over there and then David will put them back on the shelf.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so we made room for that. But it was coming from the kid, not from the adult. And so in my brain, and I'm guessing maybe y'all's too, like that was okay.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I think in our experience, I would notice kids, they would go through, some of them would, sometimes they hit that stage where they get like interested in sorting and classifying and putting all of the red cars together and all the blue ones over here, that individually they would go through these bursts where they would make things orderly, not necessarily because they needed them to be, but because they figured out that they could. And it just kind of became a organic way to practice that sorting and classifying that they happen to be interested in.
I agree. I wanted to say one more thing in case you're getting ready to wrap it up. Kind of going back a couple minutes here, getting organized when it comes to back to school. And I realize we missed the window of time-wise this probably happening for a lot of the listeners, because I'm sure this is airing probably more in November. But I, of late, make a really big point at kind of, quote, back to school time in August, when a lot of teachers are spending a lot of energy setting up their room in preparation for the kids coming back into the room. What I've really started saying, and I mean it, like, big time, is that instead of spending 40 hours setting up the room and rearranging and setting and taking stuff up and putting stuff down, just set it up. Set it up in a way that is organized, but then trust that the children are going to show you how and where that might need to be different. And the strategy there, I believe, is that you set it up, get it ready. So if 20 kids walked in, you'd be good to go. But then you don't go into that first week exhausted, having had spent all this time moving stuff and dragging stuff and reassembling stuff and having it keep you up at night. Is that the best spot for that? Because it takes energy then to make those midstream adjustments. And if you're already exhausted from that first week, you're going to be probably less inclined to rearrange stuff, because you're going to be like, God damn it, I was here for 80 hours last week setting this up. You know, I'll be damned if I'm moving that block center again. So set it up and then step back and then be willing to tweak it. So that's one thing I made a note here that I wanted to be sure to toss out there.
I would throw out there for anybody feeling really adventurous to unset it up. And
yeah, just I wondered if you were going to bring that up.
Just place the pieces that are impossible for you to be flexible on. I mean, if you've got a desk and you need that to be in a certain place, put that there. Beyond that, leave it as open and unset up as possible. And then you spend that first week with those little people, 2 weeks, 3 weeks with those little people in your space, organizing the space based on what they're needing and wanting, and then be flexible enough to, throughout the time you're together, whether it's a school year or a couple years, be flexible enough to move those things around. Unless there's, I mean, granted, for our own sanity, there's some stuff we need this right here, and that's cool, but open that up, because that goes back to the whole episode on power we did, and the fact that we come back to this topic all the time. The more the kids can own the space, the more they're going to own the space, right? And there's a lot of good in that.
Definitely. Yeah, I think environment conversations are one of those things that we're always able and willing to come back to, because either we see that some of the things we've touched on are kind of the classics that where'd that come from? Bear repeating again and reminding both ourselves and our listeners, or maybe there's something else that comes on our radar. But yeah, I definitely think being organized within the space is a topic off of like an overarching environment conversation.
Yeah, and I know this is something
we've
touched on.
And you don't need to keep stuff. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Oh, go ahead.
You don't need to keep shit just because, I mean, I'm probably talking more to myself. I shared this last night on the ECE Live is, you know, I realized that one of the reasons I'm very, very hesitant to get rid of the blocks that I've literally been schlepping around since I first started teaching back in 19, whatever the hell that was because of that emotional connection to it. And here I'm out there claiming to be such a big proponent of blocks, and yet I've got probably 2,000 of them frickin' in a basement instead of being used by people. And, you know, I think you never outgrow the need to occasionally step back and kind of do an emotional assessment of, you know, why is this still in here, or why is this not being used, or why is this still on the wall, and whose needs are being met by this? And I think there's wisdom in constantly, whether you're a teacher in the classroom, whether family child care, and I think even listening with our non-professional, non-early childhood years, there's room to kind of bring some of that into our own personal space as well as our professional one.
Absolutely. You know what you should do with those blocks? You should slap an ooey gooey sticker on each one of them and sign them, and then put them on your website, start selling them.
I didn't even think of that. That's a really good idea.
Okay. I just need 10% for the idea.
Okay. No, I'll just give you 10. You can sell them and get that'll be your payback. Be whatever you can wrangle up for them.
Mrs. Johnson, any thoughts on this topic before we wrap up? Because I know Lisa and I have big mouths and tend to take over the conversation. Well, you're an organized lady.
Yeah. And I mean, over the years, way back then when I liked everything in its place and everything, but I've learned to step back and breathe and let people put things where they need them to be or whatnot, whether you be an adult or a kid. And sometimes it makes me cringe still a little bit, but otherwise it's like, okay, I feel better. I have more energy to direct in other directions, and it's nicer.
She hardly winced at all when I started hanging up paper towel holder dispensers and random magnets on the walls of the studio.
Yeah, when you did ask about the magnets, it's like, marking up the wall that I painted and primed and everything. But it's like, it's his space. I'll just walk away. He'll be okay.
And you got it ready, though, Tasha. And I'm not just saying that to be cheeseball. Like, he was able to then take that next step and do what needs to be done in that space because you, in theory, got it ready. You know, you were that foundational element that allowed that to happen.
She's the foundational element in everything that's good in my life.
Well, and good in a lot of our lives. So that's true.
With that little bit of sucking up, let's wrap up this episode. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. We hope when you're organizing your day, you make time to stick us in your ear holes at least a couple times a week. We will be back soon with another episode soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.